Yo, this second childhood production is for the Killer Bees podcast, and I mix what I like.org.
See, now that y'all got Obama, y'all happy as some pigs and slop. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I got these guns to cop. The revolution won't be televised, so I refuse to watch. Middle finger to the cops, the struggle won't ever stop. Without some force put to it, they bubble won't ever pop. Time ain't told by the hands on the clock. And water don't get cold if the stove hold a pot. If knowledge is the key, why do I need to pick the lock? My eye to the scope, I'm waiting to take the shot. The people having power, put that powder on the block. Them crackers having power, that's what made me want a Glock. You probably act inside the studio, the mic is just a prop. I put that pressure on them, I ain't asking them to stop. I know my daddy, but them beacons and TV was my pops. Furious Styles, I love you, you and mama all I got. If y'all some men, I'm William Wallace, I am not Scotch. Everything I am, see that's everything you're not. I'm too old school to ever celebrate being shot. We ain't free yet, they big. Biggest concession was Barack. I'm still wondering what happened to the weapons in Iraq. Funny how I see slave ships, y'all call them yachts. The city don't want housing, it won't vacant lots. And crackers is racist, more often than not. Jimmy Carter said it, he old, but he ain't forgot. I call it how I see it, y'all marks in the shell game. From where I stand, freedom is more important than fame. We got enough JJs, who wanna be a James? I won't stop until my project Windows can see the flames.
Who wanna be a James? Joining the show again is Skip Coon from Jackson, Mississippi. MC, activist, somebody highly involved and a thoughtful person, somebody we're a big fan of on this program, and we want to bring him on. And Skip Coon, welcome first of all to the program again. But I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on Obama's performance this week and on the March on Washington itself. You know, there was some discussion about young people, about hip hop, and where should all of where should we all be in relation to all of this? What were your thoughts on what you've seen and heard this past week?
I saw nothing and heard nothing that was any different than any other march that has ever been had. I think a lot of lip service is paid to a lot of things, but, you know, we learn the man that you are in your action, you know. The comments, of course, were what they were. You know, like, I don't think that he will ever say anything as radical as people that voted for him in his first term or his second term want us to believe that he would say. I don't even know if he necessarily thinks those radical things. But I do think that he spoke as a liberal person would speak at an event like that. The other piece is a buddy and I were talking last night about it because we had an event here in Jackson yesterday. And it was a lot of the same lip service. And, you know, we're going to rile people up and, you know, we're going to say a lot of things, but it's a rally. You know, we don't need any more rallies, just like we don't need any more politicians. We need actions, that we need people that are about to work and living in the communities that they want to see improve. So those are things that I think are very important. Yeah, another thing that, you know, the buddy and I were talking about, she says that a person she talked to said that it was just what it was. It wasn't as terrible as it could have been, but it wasn't anything that was directly related to any type of action that would improve the condition of our community. And that's the thing that I think is missing from a lot of this stuff. It's actual, you know, it's the great debaters, you know, like it's a whole lot of things about conversation, but it's nothing about doing the work necessary to improve our material condition.
You know, you are in Jackson, Mississippi, and which is you know, the focal point, the you know, ground zero for what for many was the inspirational campaign of Chokwe Lumumba. I'd like to work that into the conversation if we could, too. Is there, you said you don't, at this point, we don't have a lot of time for politicians. Do you see something different in the political campaign of Chokwe Lumumba, you know, that speaks to some of the concerns you have, you know, regarding President Obama or the mainstream dominant, you know, more popular politicians?
Of course, you know, I was very happy that Chokwe Lumumba won, but he's one man. And if you have to understand local politics in Mississippi to understand a lot of things, and then understand the local politics in Jackson, because even that's different. You're talking about a city that I think is maybe 110, 120 square miles with maybe 180,000 people. So our population density is low. And a lot of our problems could be fixed with a larger tax base. Well, because we're the capital of the state, the government owns so many properties, and they don't have to pay property taxes on those, so that kind of dilutes our tax roll. Our school district is actually larger. Our student population in the city of Jackson is actually larger than 54 counties. Like, the total population of 54 counties is smaller than what people, than what the city of Jackson educates in a day with just its children. We educate 30,000 children a day, maybe going down to 25, 28,000 children every day go enter into our schools. With that reality, there isn't a payment of fees in lieu of taxes thing that the state does to support the city. We have, on one street where Jackson State University is, I counted 13 churches on one street. The city is full of churches that aren't very active in their community. So we're looking at all of these things that are going on, and it's really difficult. Like, it's really hard to kind of have any type of progress. And then we have a lot of people that don't really understand how politics work. And I think a lot of people elected Chokwe Lumumba, and then they went back home and put their hands in their pockets. And I don't think, I think people are going to have to work regardless of who the politicians are. And one thing that I think the black community doesn't have is a lot of people that are passionate about doing the work, as they have people. And I won't even single out black people. I don't think America has people that are passionate about doing the work. And we reflect that, but the consequences are more dire because of our inherent situation because of the politics of America.
First, let me just say that sounds like it's somewhat of a microcosm of what people have said, even in the supporters of Barack Obama, that people voted for him and then kind of went back home, went back to business as usual. In fact, you've even said something to that effect in verse, that you know, people felt like it was going to be all right automatically after electing Barack Obama, but the real work is still left to do. So it's interesting to hear, and I think important to hear, that the same is relevant even with, you know, better and more well-meaning politicians or political campaigns like that of Chokwe Lumumba's. You know, one of the things that I have noticed in all of this is this discussion that has come up, particularly around hip-hop and young people's role and involvement in struggle. You know, Jamie Foxx came out again recently and criticized young people and artists, and we know Harry Belafonte had criticized Jay-Z. But in terms of the other issue of young people and hip-hop's involvement in political activism, what would you have to say about any of that? What do you think is going on there, or what should be going on there?
It's an amazing thing. You know, like, I guess, you know, I haven't talked publicly about Harry Belafonte or Jay-Z. I think the thing that's most interesting about it to me was the fact that it was a dude that's saying that you're not doing enough, when the reality is we don't know what he does. You know, like, paying for Sean Bell's kids to go to school, him paying for Sean Bell's children to go to school is a lot more than civil rights people have done post-civil rights movement. I think, you know, a lot of times I hear people criticize young people for not being political. Well, part of it is we aren't, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the only reason that young people were as political as they were in the 50s and the 60s, and maybe even in the 70s with Black Power, like, the only reason black people were as political then was because the material conditions, it was very cut and dry what one should do in an effort to rebel or resist oppression. Like, okay, my buddy just said it was tangible. Like, the goals were tangible. So it was, we want to eat at this counter. We want to do this. We want to do those things. Well, what we are left with as young people is that our civil rights veterans don't really talk about King working in Memphis. Like, they don't talk about the King that get assassinated. They talk about the I Have a Dream speech. But they also leave the context out that they were marching for jobs and freedom. Conditions that Egyptians took to the street in mass for are definitely real issues all over America, and no one is taking to the streets in mass about them. So why would we be any different? As I said earlier, like, you know, it's not just black folk. It's an American problem. Like, this is an American problem. Nobody is upset about their condition. Most people think that the way that they would improve their condition is through getting some more money. And if the young people are trying to get money, if young people are out and they're working, and if they can't get work, and the civil rights veterans haven't produced anything that can employ us, but the drug trade has, they're selling drugs, they're doing everything that they can to get the one resource that they think will improve their material condition. So they are rebelling in the way that they know how. Like we don't, our leadership doesn't talk to us about King talking about the economics of this issue. And when Obama talks about those things and when he brings those things up, until he puts some real oomph behind what he's saying, I just, you know, like, you just talking, though. Like, until you stand up to the people that are opposing you, even in your own party, until you man up, I mean, it just is what it is. Like, I don't believe it.
Yeah, initially my point was, for whatever my criticism of Jay-Z's music or the content of his music may be, it's not right, I think, to put that on him or any particular artist or the youth in general. Jay-Z grew up in an era, a post-civil rights, post-black power era, where the movement had been crushed by the most powerful state in the history of humankind. And what was left for him to do? What movement was there to train him and prepare him to assume a leadership position by the time he reached his 40s?
Yeah. Well, capitalism trained him to be what he is.
Right.
And that's it. You know, like, I was in the study group, you know, and I was in the study group. And one thing that, you know, I took away from it was, you know, their belief that capitalism never rests. So it's always on the attack. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people got federal jobs. I feel, you know, like, all right, so what has Jay-Z done or hasn't done that the Congressional Black Caucus has tried to do? You know, like, what really is anybody doing? And then just to be like, well, Jay-Z ain't. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real weak argument. Like, but the Congressional Black Caucus, right? You know what I'm saying? They didn't stand up with Senator McKinney. Like, that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't stand until it's convenient for them to stand. So why should we expect more from Jay-Z? Nobody else is standing.
Well, Skip Coon, I want to thank you again for taking the time and joining us for these few minutes. People can find him on Twitter at Skip Coon, at SKIPPCOON. Is there any other way that people can reach you or follow your work?
Yeah, man. Facebook, everything is Skip Coon. Skip Coon, two P's in the C. Gmail, Facebook, everything is right there. So, yeah, just hit me up, man, and we'll see what we're doing.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. We'll be back in touch sooner than later. Take good care.
All right, right on, brother.
Yo, this Second Childhood production is for the Killer Bees podcast, and I mix what I like.org.